Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Just want to let you know, as you're turning to Psalm 19, this is just the first stop of four we're going to make in God's Word. We'll be doing what we used to call a Bible drill this morning, but it'll be, I think, beneficial for you. We're going to look at four different passages of Scripture this morning, tie them together. Let us begin our reading, though, at Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. We're speaking of the nature of God's Word. What are we looking at? What are we considering? When we open our Bibles, which I hope will be every day of this year, what exactly are you encountering when you open your Bible? Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your Word. Lord, it is our vision for life. Lord, is ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you? Lord, we thank you for your Word, and we pray, God, that we'll be motivated after this morning to stay in your Word this year. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, as a member of a church where I served, that told me he was struggling to read his Bible. Now, this man, he knew he should read his Bible, but he at least was honest enough to tell me, "You know, Pastor, I've got to shoot straight with you. I want to read my Bible, but quite frankly, I'd rather read the news, check the sports scores, and look at the stock prices." He says, "I want to read the Bible. What should I do?" Now, my question to you, if I had you in a small group, I'd go around the room and say, what would your advice be? What would you tell this man? What's the solution to his motivation problem? Because it's obviously a problem at the level of motivation. Perhaps you'd say, well, just try harder. That's what a lot of people say. Or just commit yourself to a certain time every day of the year to read the Bible. Or maybe get an accountability partner, an accountability group. I understand that. But there's a problem with the idea of trying harder, setting aside a time, and getting an accountability partner. You see, all those ways, as good as they are, ignore the main way that God Himself wants to motivate us to read His Word this year. Let me give you a verse to jot down. It's James 2:17. James 2:17 that says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now, please understand what's being said there. Whenever I lack any good work, and certainly reading your Bible would be a good work, my real problem, it's not laziness, it's not lack of commitment, it's not unwillingness to be accountable. The real problem I have, and I'll tell you this one stings, is this: I don't have enough faith. I really don't believe the promises of God revealed here in His Word, the Bible. You see, motivation has to do with faith. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is give you a short list of the promises that God makes to all of us if we will read the Bible. Just if you'll read the Bible. Consider yourself challenged to do this. Pray over these promises. Just take these promises we're about to encounter and pray over them for just a few minutes every day for the remainder of the year. And then understand that the problem you have, if you don't want to do that, is you really don't believe these promises. See, ask God to give you faith to believe His promises, to strengthen your faith, to change your heart. Now, I'll guarantee you this. I don't make many ironclad guarantees, but I guarantee you this. If you'll just jot these four verses down this morning, if you'll pray over these verses in the remainder of the year, if you'll actually soak yourself like a sponge in just these four verses, if you trust that God is speaking to you through His Word, you will be motivated to read God's Word. You will want to read God's Word. You will look forward to reading God's Word. It'll be not a task for you, but a delight and a responsibility for you. And you know what? You'll actually find extra time to read God's Word, because we always, do we not, find time to do what we want to do. Every one of us do that. Now, here's something else. If you'll just pray, read and pray over just these four verses for the next year, by the end of this year, you know what? You will be a different person. That's right. A different person, a better person. You know, last week we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. It says, but instead of the world squeezing you into its mold, you have to have an inside-out transformation. Be transformed by the Word of God. In other words, that transformation happens when your mind is renewed. Now, how does that happen? In computer language, you delete the old files. You install new ways of thinking. What new ways? These new ways of thinking. Keep this in mind as you enter into this year. Very simple. Transformed thinking leads to transformed living. It's that simple, but yet that profound. Transformed thinking leads to transformed living. With that in mind, the main point we want to make this morning from these four passages is this. Let's consider four great promises. Four great promises in God's Word that motivate us to prayerfully read God's Word this year. Before we look at those promises, let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we confess right at the beginning, we struggle to read the Bible more than we actually do. Lord, we're asking you to strengthen our faith in what you say about your Word, to actually believe what you say. Help us, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to think and to pray over these four promises in your Word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes, you want to make this first person personal, so it'll be something that applies to you automatically. And here's the first promise to motivate us to get into the Word. First promise is this. If I prayerfully read God's Word, if I do that, it will revive my soul. If I prayerfully read God's Word, it will revive my soul. That is, it will revive me from the inside out. Look at Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. How reviving the soul. Now, medically speaking, one of the worst conditions you can have is the condition of blocked arteries around your heart. You know, a healthy heart is a heart where blood is flowing into and out of your heart throughout your veins and capillaries to nourish every part of your body. Well, friends, here's a word picture for you to remember. God's Word and Spirit working together. And by the way, where His Word is, His Spirit is, because His Spirit inspired His words. They're a tag team. God's Word and Spirit are the main arteries through which God brings the blood flow of health to your heart. In other words, God's heart-reviving work flows through the pipeline of what you have open before you, God's Word. So no matter how unmotivated or how unspiritual you may feel on any given day next year, and you will feel unmotivated and unspiritual on many days next year, when you prayerfully read God's Word, in time, now hear this, in time, if you'll do this, you will actually experience God changing your heart, God reviving your heart to help make you spiritually healthy. I want to share a personal experience with you. I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. Comes from the world of exercise. Now, weather permitting, I walk every day. Every day, weather permitting. Obviously, I haven't walked much this past week. Weather permitting, I walk every day. Now, the question is, how many days when I walk do I feel motivated to walk? I'll give you the answer. Zero. Zip. Nada. Never. I never feel motivated to go out and walk. But yet, if I begin the process of putting one foot in front of the other, pushing myself down the path ahead of me, going down Stonegate into the pines, into the track behind Merritt Health in Brandon, and out here you have a couple of great walking places. In Winter Circle, you have that walking place off of Wirtz Road. It's great. At some point in that walk, I can't tell you when, I begin to feel better. I begin to feel motivated to walk. By the end of the walk, I am glad I did it. Now, listen, hear this. I did not feel my way into a state of walking. No, I just did it. I walked. And somewhere in the middle of the walk, I think you sports enthusiasts call it something called the zone, I felt motivated to finish the walk. 2.5 miles every day. And I have never once regretted walking. Not once. After the fact, I've never said, gee, I wish I hadn't walked. Never do it. Please hear this. No matter how unspiritual you feel, if you will actually do the work of prayerfully reading God's Word, in time, you will experience a revival, a refreshment inside your heart. When your heart feels dull, Bible reading seems boring. Remember, the path to reviving your soul, the path to reviving you from the inside out, is a path that runs straight through the Bible. Read your Bible. Let me suggest that maybe these four verses you can jot down on an index card and keep them with you. Or maybe what I've done is I put them on my OneNote on my iPhone, just these four verses. You know, jot these down. And then read through, pray through these verses. Try to do it every day, whether you feel like it or not. Please understand, it will revive you from the inside out. Now turn with me. You're going now from Psalm 119 to Psalm 119. Just turn over in the Psalms to Psalm 119. This whole psalm is a psalm about the Word of God. It is actually laid out according to the Hebrew alphabet. And if you are a young child in a Hebrew church in this Old Testament day, you would memorize this whole psalm. The way you learned your alphabet was by memorizing Psalm 119. Hear now this word. 119, 105. Notice what it says. We sing about this sometimes. We've read it before, but let's look at it. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Notice, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If I prayerfully read God's word, first of all, it will revive my soul. It will strengthen my heart. It will change me. Secondly, if I prayerfully read God's word, it will light my path. It will light my path. You know, one of the images that the Bible uses to describe life is to compare the living of life to walking down a path, or if you prefer, riding down the road of life. Because, friends, truth is, we live east of Eden. We live in a fallen world. We live in a place where sin affects and infects everything and everybody. We live in a world where Satan is a liar who posts all kind of lies on the billboards along life's highway. And there is no light shining on the path illuminating our highway as we travel through life. And because of that, our life is a dark path. And sometimes because of all this darkness that just suffocates us, we cannot see the sharp turns, the steep drop-offs, the quicksand pits, the rivers on the side of the road. You see, in this life, as you travel through 2019, everything is an accident waiting to happen. It's just the way it is. Your car could easily get totaled on life's road this year. Don't think it couldn't be, because we are traveling on a dark road. I saw the other day an advertisement. It's for something called the Torch Flashlight. It's touted as being the world's brightest and most powerful flashlight. 4,100 lumens, 100-watt halogen bulb with enough juice, get this, to set paper on fire and fry an egg. Now, that must be true because I saw it on the internet, you know, and if you saw it on the internet, it's got to be true. Yeah. Now, God promises that reading His Word is like shining a torch flashlight on a dark path, like two very bright halogen headlights in front of your car illuminating life's highway. God's voice speaking through Scripture shows us things we cannot see. It leads us to where we walk on a safe path. It takes us down God's highway. It brings us to our destination one day in the new heavens and new earth. Friends, let's do a reality check. As we stand at the sunrise hours of 2019, the future is unclear. You look at economics, you look at politics, you look at cultural trends. We are 1 to 3 events away from implosion at all times. And this year, there will be many times in your life where you say, I don't know what to do next. You need light to clear the fog, to show you the way. This is God's light. This is God's sunshine, God clearing away the fog. You see, God lights every path we take, and He does it through the Word. We only need to shine the light of God's Word on the path that we take. Now, if you keep this Word closed, then you're going down the path with the light off. Think about it that way. You ready? Here's the difference between lights on and off. Lights off, lights on. Lights off, lights on. It's your choice. I don't want to walk down any path with my lights off. I've had that happen before. It's called a broken shoulder. See, the on-off switch is that easy. It's on. Now turn with me to John chapter 8. I'm going to do two passages now out of the New Testament. We've done two out of the Old, now two out of the New. What we've seen so far is that if you prayerfully read God's Word, it will revive your soul. It will bring health to your heart. If you prayerfully read God's Word as you walk down the path of life, as you travel down life's highway, the Word of God will light your path. The third promise, custom designed, I pray, to motivate you to read God's Word is this. Third, if I prayerfully read God's Word, it will bring me freedom. It will bring me freedom. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Notice, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, because He had just been talking to Jews who did not believe in Him. He says to them, He says, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. Notice, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8, 31 and 32. Couple of observations. Notice Jesus says here, once you're a sign that you really are a disciple of Christ is not that you wear a gold cross around your neck or have a fish sticker on your car bumper or an iPhone Bluetoothing Christian music into your ears or when you score a goal in school, in basketball or something, that you go... Those things are fine, but they're not a sure sign that you truly are a disciple. Jesus says, The way you know is that you abide, that is, that you spend time in God's Word. Please understand, there is no such thing as a true disciple of Jesus who does not spend time in God's Word. And by time, I don't mean, you know, for some of us, and I fall into this too, these Bibles might as well have tire tracks on them because we're speeding through. We hardly ever stop the car at a verse or a chapter, get out of the car and walk around and really get into the Word. I'm talking about abiding in the Word. But notice what happens when you do that, when you slow down, when you actually get into the Word, that second observation, the truth will set you free. In context, what that means is this. Jesus is speaking about our sins. See, sins are chains. And in and of ourselves, we have no power to free ourselves from the chains that bind us. But Jesus says right here, notice this promise. If you abide in His Word, that is, this grace-infused Word that reveals forgiveness and justification and sanctification that we have in Christ, when you pray over God's Word, when you meditate on God's Word, when you really soak yourself in it, guess what happens? You have some sin you're dealing with? The locks spring open. The chains fall away. Some of you may remember the quote by Horace Mann, one of the early American educators. He says, habit is like a cable. We weave a thread of it every day, and at last we cannot break it. You see, we not only have a disposition towards sin, but we have habits of sinning. And from a very human perspective, habits are hard to break, aren't they? You know, how many of you have kept your New Year's resolutions through this week? You know what I'm talking about. You know, patterns of sin are easy to fall back into. And everybody in this room has a besetting sin, a particular sin that is ingrained in your DNA as much as is the color of your eyes. I don't know what that sin is, but it is ingrained. It is in your DNA, and we struggle. You know, you struggle with some sins more than others. Some sins we're prone to are as personal as our fingerprints. But notice here this promise. If you abide in my word, the truth will set you free. Think of sin as weeds. Think of this as herbicide. That would be an image to burn into your mind. The path to freedom is knowing the truth and then doing it. You see, what Bible study is all about is doing what the Bible says. Imagine that I tell you, I'd like to paint this room in your house. And so I bring in two cans of paint, just the color you want. I put them in the middle of the thing, and I say, well, doesn't it look great now? And you go, what do you mean? Well, there's the paint. Your room looks great, doesn't it? You haven't applied any paint. The room looks no different. Friends, what we often do is this. We take these cans of paint and God's Word and we just put them there on the floor. It is not until you apply the paint that the walls will change. Applied truth changes our lives. Knowing and doing the truth and the power God's Holy Spirit provides sets us free. You will notice if you will stay in God's Word, you will sin less. I didn't say you won't sin. That'll never happen. But you will sin less because Jesus says the truth will set you free. Some of those chains that have been binding you will stop. Notice also, now we looked at one other passage and then we're done. Romans 10. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Notice, if you feel faint, need to be revived, God's Word revives your soul. It makes you healthy from the inside out. If the path you're on is dark and dense with fog, God's Word lights your path. If you're struggling with the same sins, God's Word can bring you freedom. Notice the fourth and final motivational promise that I pray will get you into God's Word is this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Notice in the fourth place, if I prayerfully read God's Word, it will strengthen my faith. Notice faith comes through hearing a word about Christ. Now, as you know from experience, it is somewhere between challenging and impossible to go anywhere when there's a flat tire on your car. But is it not true that as you travel life's road this next year, some days your faith is going to feel like a flat tire? You know the feeling. Yes, the object of your trust is Jesus, but your life of faith just feels like a flat tire. You're just not going anywhere when it comes to living out your faith. You know, you're supposed to take your faith into your family, into your school, your workplace, into the church. And you're just sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire. Your faith feels flat, stale, like a Coke without fizz, which is another name for Pepsi. But notice the promise here. God promises to use His words about Christ to fill us with faith. In other words, whenever you turn in your Bible, you will come face to face with God's words about Christ. Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. In every book of the Bible, Jesus is patterned, He's promised, He's present. Let me just give you a few examples. Jesus is the victorious seed of the woman in Genesis 3. You think of the flood and the ark, the Passover, the Red Sea, the wilderness, the promised land, prophets, priests and kings, the temple, the sacrifices, wisdom and life and death, the songs of lament and rejoicing, King David's blues and fiesta music, lives of faithful people, blood of righteous martyrs, the Gospels, the Epistle, all the way through Revelation. You see, the whole Bible is Jesus-shaped. It is full of promises about Jesus. It is full of Jesus. Don't take my word for it. Jot this down, look it up yourself. In Luke 24:27, it says that Jesus took them, that is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. The Bible is ultimately about Jesus. So what does that mean? What does that mean that the Bible is full of Jesus? It means that whenever you read God's Word, it's like fastening a pump on the flat tire of your faith and pumping that tire full of air that is Jesus. You see, when you fasten your life to this Word about Christ, your faith will not be flat for very long. Friends, when your relationship with the Lord feels flat, when God seems far away, this word strengthens you, it nourishes your faith. Think of it this way, the difference between a flat tire faith and a full tire faith is the choice you make to fasten your life onto this pump, which reveals Jesus. So let me ask you, think of the verses again, Psalm 19:7. Psalm 119:105, John 8:31-32, and Romans 10:17. Take these verses, pray over these verses next week, ask God to help you to see their truth, to believe their truth, to feel their truth. And I guarantee you, God will change your heart. Reading your Bible will no longer be something you have to do, but it'll be something you want to do. Just begin modestly. Begin with these four verses. Yes, we included a Bible reading plan in case you want to go through the Bible. It's in your bulletin today. You can do that too. But just start modestly. Read through these four verses prayerfully every day. And then ask God. Ask God, say, incline my heart to your word. Open my eyes. I want to see your glory. And when you finish your reading of God's word, thank God for what he revealed to you. And you know what? You just might be fired up enough to share what you've learned with others. Wouldn't that be great? I want to leave you with this today. King David, in Psalm 19, verse 10, we already read that, says this about the word of God. It said, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb." Psalm 19, 10. Friends, think about that. Much fine gold would be worth millions of dollars. Honey is deliciously satisfying. Well, imagine having a book that the more you read it, the more gold and honey you receive. You see, the more you read your Bible, the more you get of God himself. And God is infinitely worth more than gold. God is infinitely more satisfying than honey. This is an amazing book because it ultimately all the time leads you to Christ, who alone is your life. I ask you this morning, is Christ your life? If he's not, he needs to be your life. You need to repent of any self-centeredness that you have. And you need to trust in Christ and Christ alone as your life. And you'll find Jesus on every page of this book. I ask you, I challenge you this morning. Why waste your time this year? Really, don't cheat yourself. What you have open before you this morning gives more value than gold, or time spent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, emailing, or texting. More value than that. More satisfaction than honey or whatever else your cravings are. Friends, here's the message. It's so clear. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. What's keeping you from this? The answer is nothing. Nothing at all. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we love your word. We've told others you do. The Bible is the most important book in our library. But Lord, we're so unmotivated to get into it. Help us to see what your word brings about in our lives. Lord, if we read your word and pray through it, it will revive us from the inside out. As we walk down life's path, it will light our path. Lord, as we read and pray through God's word, it'll bring us freedom. We'll see sins we've struggled with all our lives begin to not be as much of a struggle. And Lord, it will strengthen our faith because reading the Bible, ultimately every path takes us to Jesus Christ, who is our life. Lord, help us to take these four promises and help us to read them on a daily basis, to pray through them. And Lord, we look forward to amazing transformation this year. We know you can do it because you've chosen to do it through your word and your spirit working together in our lives. But we've got to get that word in us. Help us, Lord, to be committed people of your word during this year, 2019. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.